Thank you, Gabby. Our Old Testament lesson is from Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. And our New Testament lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13 and reading to chapter 5, verse 1. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So, we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I think I've mentioned before that I preach from the lectionary, which is shared by something like 27 denominations, so that we're all preaching on the same scriptures, the same Sundays. And generally, it's divided up, the whole Bible is divided up into 3 years, Old Testament, Psalm, Gospel, and Epistle. And so when you have stayed at the church as long as I have now, this is my sixth year here, I'm in the second cycle of this three-year cycle. So I got to this one, full disclosure, this is a sermon I preached 3 years ago, but it's not the same sermon, it's the same scripture. And I remember it when I saw it, and I went, oh yeah, I remember, that was a good one. And there ain't that many good ones. So, and I thought, hey, I should probably use this one again. But as I started working on it, the crazy thing happened is that I realized that the verses that were jumping out at me were not the same verses as before. And I know the reason for that, because of the things that have happened in these last 3 years. I think the date I preached this was June 6th, 2021, and it's June 9th, 2024. And so I want to show you a few things. And I think one thing, and it's probably the age, this ripe age I've gotten to, but I've had a lot of people die in the last 3 years. Some good friends, my good friend Jack Becker, my brother-in-law John Leach, my brother-in-law Terry Wright, my good friend, my Con Ed buddy Patty Winter, and most recently my mom. And I don't expect you to have that same experience, especially y'all in the back row. I mean, but you have probably experienced some things differently in the past 3 years. And so the first line of this psalm really got to me, where it said, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. And I was thinking about the depths that I have been in at different times this past year. Maybe some of you can relate to that, how deep and dark it can get. My mom died on April 15th, which was a Monday, and I canceled preaching for that next Sunday immediately, but I didn't cancel it for the one after that. So, basically 2 weeks later, and I remember so well, I did the sermon, I got it ready, and right as I was leaving, this enormous wave of despair hit me. And I was almost buckling my knees. It was so hard and sad. And I told Annette, I said, you know, I may have tried to get in the saddle a little too soon here. Man, I don't know if I can do this today. But God was gracious and gave me the strength to do it. And I can do all things through God who strengthens me. But that was one of the depths. And so whatever your experience has been, I know it's not the same as mine. Of feeling that Psalm 130 feeling of out of the depths I cry to you, O God. This, what Paul is writing to the church in Corinth is his answer to being in the depths. And to what he, as he calls it, losing heart. That we can lose heart. And you know, this Christian journey, it's a marathon, man. It's not a sprint. It is putting one foot in front of the other and just keeping on going. And sometimes it's incredibly hard. And so I want us to look at it. Like I said, this time, I'm going to say some things. You go, oh, I remember that. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you won't remember any of it. But at least remember some of these things. I'll look at it and go, yeah, I said that last time. But some of the things I didn't. And so I want to start really... since it's so easy to lose heart. And today, our scripture is about not losing heart or how not to lose heart. So if you look just right there, the very first verse 13 and 14, it gets kind of, there's a little kind of interruption. Paul's mind is tumbling all the time, and he puts all these little things in there. So I'm going to take the little interruption out and just read the sentence that he probably should have edited it this way. He said, just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, we also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. And I want to unpack that a little bit, because the first thing it talks about is about the Scriptures. He says, we have the same spirit of faith that's in accordance with Scripture. And so part of this way of not losing heart is to be in Scripture, is to read your Bible, read it, have it there, memorize it, sing it, anything like that, that Scripture helps build your faith. That's the first thing, that we were in accordance with Scriptures, that our faith was in accordance with Scripture. We also believe, and so we speak. So the second thing is that we believe it and speak about it. Now that to me is very hard. Okay, you're a preacher, so you speak about it. Yes, I do. I speak about it in the pulpit on Sunday. But just in regular discourse, we're always talking about other stuff. We're talking about sports. We're talking about Cameron Brink or Caitlin Clark, or we're talking about, the Wolfpack beating Georgia yesterday, 18-1 or whatever it was. All of those things are what we always, we talk about. And depending on your, those two talk about quilts. You know, Dave and I talk about music. We talk about all kinds of things, but we don't always talk about the resurrection of Jesus. And what Paul is saying here is that when that faith is in your heart, speaking it, saying it to each other is a way to build your faith, is a way to not lose heart. And I know it may feel weird, but it's important to be able to find folks that you can talk spiritually with. And I do, thankfully, do have some of that with some of y'all, that we can talk about resurrection together. We can talk about spiritual things together. And then the third thing he says, and this is just in the first two verses, because we know, okay, you read the scripture, you believe it, you speak it, and then you know that the one who raised Jesus will raise us also and bring us with you into his presence, which means we all get to go into the presence of Jesus together. Because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead will raise us from the dead and raise these dear ones who have left already. And that's such a wonderful, wonderful thing, and we probably don't talk about it as much as we could. One of the most convincing things to me about the resurrection of Jesus is what happened to the disciples after that, after the cross and Peter's betrayal and all those things, that they were just fearful, scared people hiding in these rooms, in these buildings, and all of a sudden they have no fear at all. They have no fear, and all they're talking about is the resurrection of Jesus. That's one of the things I learned during the Acts of the Apostles Bible study at Scotia, is that the message of the original church was the resurrection. That's what it was. It was the resurrection of Jesus. And, you know, it's hard to sustain a lie. And I mentioned this the other day. Somebody said, you know, if y'all remember the Watergate hearings and all that thing, those people who made up the lie that Richard Nixon was not involved in the Watergate, you know how long it took them to contradict themselves on that lie? It took 2 weeks. And they're all like, they said, okay, that was a lie. You got me. That was a lie. These disciples went 40 years and were beaten and thrown in prison and eventually killed, and they never recanted that Jesus rose from the dead. They knew. They had seen it. And so the resurrection is real. It makes it, to me, it is the most real thing in the core of our faith. And so when he says that power who raised Jesus, this God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead, will raise us with him, and we'll all see together. So all these people I've lost in the last 4 or 5 years, I get to see them again, and they get to see me. And that's such a great blessing. And so all this is building up. And so what is the result of believing this? And it's verse 16. So we do not lose heart. All that is what he's putting in, so that we don't lose heart. That we put that in front. And if you are losing heart, or it's hard for you to keep on putting one foot in front of the other with your faith, this thinking about the resurrection, talking about the resurrection, reading in scripture about it, is one way to not lose heart. He says, so we do not lose heart, even though, this is really getting close to home, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Now, I am at the age where nobody needs to convince me that my outer nature is wasting away. Now, some of you younger folks, you're getting stronger, you're getting taller, you're getting better, you're getting prettier, you know, and that'll go up until you're 30. And then, you crest the hill and start going down the other side. There's a new musical, it's called Menopause, isn't it? And the hit song in it is "I Don't Look Good Naked Anymore." That's the song, the hit song that's in it. And all of these things, you wake up and something new hurts, and your main question is this serious, or do I just need to walk a little bit, you know? And so this is what he's talking about wasting away. And you got to remember that what is happening in our bodies. This process of losing things, you know, losing eyesight, losing hearing, all these things, losing hair, losing good looks, all of that is working in opposition to we're trying to not lose heart while we're losing all this stuff. And he says, what is happening to us in our bodies is a threat to our belief. We're wasting away. And even like Paul's time, life expectancy was way lower than it is now. Yes, some people in 54 AD lived into their 70s and 80s. Some people did that. They were outliers, though. There's a lot of infant mortality. But if there's no antibiotics, there's no antiseptics, there's no vaccination. If you cut yourself and you got infected, you might die. If you got strep throat, you would die. It's people died in their 30s and 40s a lot. And even though we've raised because of all those things, a big thing was figuring out you need to keep your drinking water separate from your septic tank. That was another big thing that they had to figure out. But, our life expectancy is 78 now, something like that. But even so, we have more years to see our losing stuff, and it works in opposition to not losing heart. He says in verse 16, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. Now think about that. Think about what's happening in your spiritual life, your faith life. That even though every day, you got your knees hurt, your feet hurt, whatever all these things are, but what's happening with your faith? What's happening with the Spirit? And I mentioned this in the sermon last week. Think about where you were a year ago in your faith and how far you've come. Think about that, how far your faith has come in a year. And that is what God is doing on the inside of you. Even though your body naturally is going to crest that hill and go down the other side, but your inner nature is being renewed every single day. And he said, for the slight momentary affliction, which is not so slight sometimes, is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. So your life is important, and what you do here is important. And God has things for you to do that you are perfect for. God knows your exact genealogy. He knows what you're gifted at, what your talents are. God knows your family upbringing, all the things that happened for good and all the things that happened for bad for you growing up, all the injuries you received. And God says, this person is perfect for this part of my kingdom. And God's calling you to do that. And you can say no. And if you say no, God will find somebody else. That person may not be as perfect as you are, but God will cover that base. But if you say yes, and you use your life for what God's calling you to in so many different ways, then you will find a sense of fulfillment and purpose in your life that can't be found anywhere else. God loved the world. And so, we need to live here in this world and love God and love people as long as we can, even though we're wasting away. But what is coming is so much better. All of this stuff we have, disease, weakness, is not meaningless, but is preparing us for something. This slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory. And then Paul says, because we shouldn't lose heart, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, and what cannot be seen is eternal. And that's